If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. It's on page 811 if you're using the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll read the passage as we get going. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, it says, you must not be like the hypocrites. This is Jesus speaking. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that your spirit will go to work to do in our hearts what needs to be done this morning. Father, we all have come here from different perspectives and different things going on during the week. All of us have come in response to your voice as you've called us and you've brought us here. And Lord, you have different work to do in everybody's heart right now. So Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, do the work that you've brought us here to do, for each one of us to hear these words, to be transformed by them, to be changed by them, encouraged by them, to be rebuked by them. Lord, whatever it is that you have to do, I pray that you would do it by your Spirit. Open our hearts to hear and our eyes to see Jesus here in these verses and what it means for us to have your ear in prayer. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the book that I referenced a couple of minutes ago, Praying the Bible, Dr. Don Whitney tells a story of a Sunday morning church service at a church he pastored in Chicago years ago. The ushers had come forward to take up the morning offering, and as they came up, Dr. Whitney could hear someone talking while the usher was praying. And at first, he figured that whoever it was would realize how loud they were being and would be quiet. But the more he listened, his voice just kept on talking while the usher was praying. The more he listened, he realized it was the voice of a child. Turns out that the child was speaking, wasn't just talking, he was speaking in unison with the usher as the usher prayed. Not just repeating the words, but saying them right along with them. It turns out that it was the usher's little boy, his little 5-year-old son. And he had heard his dad pray the exact same words for so long in his prayer that he could repeat that prayer right along with him. And he knew what dad was going to pray because dad always said the exact same things when he prayed. Now, you kind of laugh at that story, but at the same time, we kind of identify with it, don't we? One of the reasons that we can become so discouraged in our prayer lives is because, as Dr. Whitney says in his book, we pray the same old things about the same old things. We tend to get into a rut with the way that we approach prayer. And when you get into a rut, you get bored, right? And when you get bored, you get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you quit. And when you quit praying, you feel like a rotten Christian, don't you? Your prayer life isn't what you think it should be. I mean, if you get bored with something as important as prayer, there's got to be something wrong with you, right? What kind of lousy Christian am I that I get bored? When you think about what the Bible says about prayer, you have the ear of the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, who's not only willing to hear your prayer, but as Jesus said in the passage we read a few moments ago, is eager to listen to you. Psalm 10:17 says he bends his ear to hear your cry. He's given his one and only Son to die on the cross so that you'd be forgiven of your crimes against his righteousness and given the righteousness of Christ to allow you to come into his presence day or night to find grace for help in time of need. If you find that boring, must be because you're some kind of second-rate Christian, right? It must be something wrong with you. See, as we've been considering together the role of the spiritual disciplines in the Christian life, the habits of grace, as we've been calling them, things that put us in the way of His blessings. We looked last time at the way we put ourselves in the way of God's voice, put ourselves in the way of His word. We can't compel or coerce God to being gracious to us, but we can see that by developing habits of Bible reading and study and meditation and memorization, we put ourselves in a place where we can hear God's voice through His word. So what I want to show you this morning is that that's the foundation. That from this passage and from others that we'll look at, putting ourselves in the way of God's voice through His word is essential. It's foundational to our prayer life. It is foundational to our prayer life that we first put ourselves in the way of the voice of God before we have the ear of God. As we consider the spiritual disciplines of prayer in the Christian life, what I want to demonstrate, and I mentioned it earlier, prayer is our conversation with God that's rooted in the Word of God. Prayer is our conversation with God that's rooted in the Word of God. If prayer is the fruit, then God's word is the soil out of which that fruit grows. And I think we're going to see from the scriptures this morning, what I want to aim to show you is that a lot of the reasons that we get frustrated or bored or discouraged in our prayer lives, I think a lot of times it's because we're trying to carry on a one-sided conversation. We're only talking to God and not listening to Him. A lot of the turmoil that we're seeing today, a lot of the animosity. What's going on out in the political world and out in the world around us right now? Everybody's talking and nobody's listening, right? Everybody just wants to yell and be heard, and no one wants to listen to anybody else. So let's decide right off that we're not going to do that with God, okay? When we talk about prayer, we are going to make sure that we are listening to Him. Then we have His ear in prayer. We have to listen to Him. Our passage here in Matthew 6 takes place in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It says in Matthew 5 that Jesus went up onto the mountain to talk to His disciples, probably outside Capernaum. And He talked about the kingdom of God. He's there on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is describing the kingdom that He was proclaiming compared with the way that the religious leaders of the day were carrying out their self-righteousness. And in verse 1 of chapter 6, Jesus sets the tone. When we talk about prayer, here's one of the first things that Jesus wants to talk about in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. He goes on in verses 2 through 4 to say, don't make a big show of your charity. He said the Pharisees, they'd go and blow a trumpet in the street so that everybody could watch them put their money into the coffers. But He says, no, you give in secret because God sees it and He'll reward you. And He says the same thing about prayer in verses 5 and 6. Follow along there. You see where we read a moment ago? When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners, they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the first thing that we see about prayer, first thing Jesus says, that prayer is a confidential conversation. Prayer is a confidential conversation. We saw a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus got to have Jesus all to himself, didn't he? He got away from the crowds, away from everybody. He got to have Jesus all to himself. But why did Zacchaeus have Jesus all to himself? How did he come to have Jesus come to his house? It's because Jesus spoke to him first, didn't he? Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree first, and then Zacchaeus was able to talk to him. Do you see? Prayer is a conversation that you did not start. Prayer is a conversation that you did not start. Your prayers are a response to the way God has already spoken to you through His word in your life. That's what's behind Paul's words. Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God spoke to you first. God is the one who revealed Christ's glory to you. You had no conception of the glory of God in the face of Christ until God revealed it to you. And so the motivation for prayer and the desire for prayer comes from what God is already doing. Think of it this way. If you feel discouraged and you feel like a second-rate Christian, I wish I could pray more. Why is my prayer life so rotten? Why do I feel so why does it feel so hard to pray? If you weren't a Christian, how worried would you be about your prayer life? If you didn't belong to Jesus Christ, I mean, you think about friends who don't know Jesus out there. How worried are they about their prayer life not being robust? How worried? They're not at all. See, the very fact that you have that Spirit, what does Paul say in Romans 8:15 about the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do in your heart? It makes you cry out, Abba, Father. It makes you cry out, Daddy. That's the word Abba, is the word Daddy in Aramaic. The reason that you're saddened by prayerlessness is a sign that you belong to Christ. There's not something wrong with you. It says you have a desire for Him, a desire to speak to Him, a desire to hear from Him, which means this one of the reasons you belong to Him. Now, remember last week we saw our habits of meditating on God's Word. Think back, if you will, to last week. We talked about meditating on God's Word, chewing on God's Word. I will meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your ways, Psalm 119:15. We talked about that, and what you do is you take that verse, and the Hebrew word for meditate actually means to mutter or to talk about or to talk to yourself or to speak over and over again. In meditation, you're chewing over a verse. You're ruminating on it. You know, like we talk about chewing on it and getting all the nutrients out, thinking about it, talking over it. Prayer, do you see how naturally that leads to prayer? Is just praying those words back to God. Is it, Father, this morning I read in Ephesians 2:10 that I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Lord Jesus, thank you for making me into your workmanship. Thank you that I have salvation in Jesus. Lord, are there good works you want me to do today? Are there things you set out for me to do? Show me these opportunities I have to do things in your name. See, when you do that, when you approach prayer in terms of a continuing conversation God started in you through His Word, you're not going to be praying the same old things about the same old things anymore, are you? When you pray God's Word back to Him, prayer is our confidential conversation between us and God, growing out of the things He's already said to us in His Word. We also see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, that it's a conversation that you didn't start. It's also a conversation that you guard. It's a conversation that you guard. Verse 6 says, when you pray, you go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is saying the hypocrites, the religious leaders who wanted to be known for their prayer lives, how do they pray? They go outside and they start praying. They go out there in the most public place they can to make sure the most number of people possible see them praying. But Jesus says, you don't do that. He says, your prayer is to be confidential. Don't pray just so other people can see you. You've got your reward. Good for you. You've gotten everything that you're going to get out of that prayer. You've gotten people applauding you for how spiritual you are. But Jesus gives a lot of emphasis on privacy here, doesn't it? Look at how He says it. He says, you go into your room. And not only you go into your room, you shut the door behind you. And I think that of one thing He's saying is, so do this so that you're not drawing attention so other people are impressed with you. But there's more to it than that, I think. Have you ever had to have a candid conversation with somebody? And what do? When you go in and you got to talk and you don't want this to be public knowledge, you go in and you go into your room and you shut the door. Like if I have a student that I have to talk to, or if I have a phone call I have to make that is a very important and private conversation, I'll go shut the door of my office. I'll do the same thing here. If I'm sitting in my office with somebody and I need to talk to them, shut the door. You shut the door because you want to have a candid conversation. Christian, think of this. Your conversation with God in prayer is the place where you can have the most candid conversations that you will ever have. There is no one else to whom that you can pour out your heart, express your deepest fears and weaknesses. No one else who will listen to you so completely and lovingly to your every doubt, every fear, every frustration. No one who will rejoice with your excitement and happiness. No one who will take in every word you say like Jesus will. Candid conversation means you can pour out everything to him. It's a candid conversation. And then there's another benefit to closing the door, isn't there? It's uninterrupted. It's an uninterrupted conversation. You shut the door so that no one else can distract you or pull you aside. Prayer is a conversation with God that you guard by shutting the door on distractions. So whether that means you look for a time to pray when no one else is around, some people, like, they get up early in the morning so that there's no kids running around or no other family members, or maybe it's late at night when nobody else is around, or a part of the house where you can have privacy, or even during a part of your day when you can separate yourself for uninterrupted time to speak to God. I had a seminary professor once who told me that the best thing that ever happened to his prayer life was getting a dog. Because that dog has to be walked for a half an hour a day, whether I want to or not, whether the weather cooperates or not. He's like, I've got to walk that dog. And he says, that half hour walk with that dog, that was my prayer time. By myself, just me and the dog, get my coffee, and I'd go out, and that was my time alone. And I had that time with God. So do that. Load up on a verse of scripture that you've been chewing on. Right? Go to your Bible study and look at this verse that God has shown me, something that's really struck me and I've been meditating and chewing on it. Take that verse and sit down with God, or take the dog out for a walk, or go shovel snow, or go fold laundry, or drive a truck. Some of those menial tasks that just drive you nuts, those are your opportunity. Just shut off distractions, go, and just, you can put your motions on automatic and pray. Uninterrupted time with God, confidential time with God. Carry on that conversation that he started in you through his word. Prayer is our conversation with God rooted in the word of God. It's a confidential conversation. And it is, secondly, a confident conversation. Look at verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, don't heap up the empty phrases. You see how he says in verse 7? Don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Now, historians will tell us that the pagan religions of the day would chant or repeat the names of their gods, trying to get their attention. Think back, if you remember the Old Testament story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. When the prophets of Baal wanted to get Baal's attention, what did they do? They screamed his name and they ran around cutting themselves and doing all these things for hours and hours and hours. And it says no one answered. No one paid attention. We see this even down to our own day. If you look at, you'll have some sects of Buddhism that have the Buddhist prayer wheels or prayer flags. They spin, they write the prayer on the wheel and they spin it and it keeps going up to heaven over and over again. You'll see Hindu mystics that will repeat the name of Ram, 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 Ram for hours on end, repeating the names of their gods in the temples or in their own devotion. Even in Christianity, our Catholic friends will do what? They'll pray the Hail Mary or the Hail Holy Queen or the Glory Be. These prayers that they recite over and over again. They go down around the rosary, praying the rosary, and every bead is another prayer, and they repeat the prayer. Jesus says to us, you don't have to pray that way. You don't have to repeat God's name over and over again. You don't have to repeat certain prayers or certain phrases over and over because you're not sure whether God will hear you or not. That's why the Gentiles were doing it. I got to keep praying this prayer. I have to keep saying God's name. I have to keep doing this or else he won't hear me. I have to say the right words. And so it's a lack of confidence that God won't hear. But what does he say in verse 8? Jesus says, don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus says, you be confident in your prayer. You don't have to worry that you're not saying the right words. I talk all the time with people that aren't sure about how to pray. Well, I don't know if I'm going to say the right words. I don't know if I'll do it right. Or I don't know if I'm praying long enough. I just want to say one sentence. That's not long enough, is it? No, it says your Father in heaven, he knows what you need. And he hears your prayers. And even before you ask, he knows. Now, we Protestants, we pride ourselves on not having our formulaic prayers that we pray. We do tend to do that, though, don't we? We do tend to have, like, the prayers that all sound the same, like a little boy praying along with his dad because he hears the same prayer every day. We don't have, you know, we don't have, like, the Hail Holy Queen prayer. But we do have prayers like the We Just Wanna prayer. Do you know that prayer? Have you ever heard the We Just Wanna prayer? You know, Lord, we just want to thank you for your grace, Lord, and we just want to tell you how good you are, Lord, and we just want to ask you to bless us, Lord, and we just want to ask, give you the glory, Lord, and we just want to say that you know what I mean, right? Now, that kind of mindless repetition, not only it contributes to our boredom and prayer, saying the same old things about the same old things, but it also, I think, betrays a lack of confidence in prayer. I think sometimes we come to prayer and we think, well, I have to have the right words, I have to say the right things, and if I don't, you know, I don't know what to say. So you pick up phrases here and there. You pick up somebody as like, Lord, we just want to bless us in this, and Lord, you know, put a hedge of protection around us on this, and Lord, you know, think of all the phrases and all of the things that we say in prayer, and we just kind of figure if I stack enough of these up like Lego blocks, it'll form a prayer, and we can just cut and paste a prayer together. You know what I mean? We're all tempted to do that, but there's no real communication with that, is there? The other day, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever written to your congressman? Did you ever send an email to a congressman? You know, what do you get back? You get back a form letter. Dear constituent, thank you for your concern. They didn't read your letter. But it's all written out there. There's no real communication there. Sometimes we make our prayers into form letters to God. We just stitch together the words. Because we're afraid that if we don't say the right things, it doesn't count as a prayer. But see, that's why I want us to see. If prayer is a conversation with God that's rooted in the Word of God, then our prayers are guided by God's Word. Our prayers, we can be confident when our prayers are guided by God's Word. Now, I read the verses that we read at the beginning, or what we call verses 9 through 13 of Matthew chapter 6 is called what? It's called the Lord's Prayer. And we do occasionally pray that as part of our worship. We don't do it all the time, but we do that. And, you know, it can become formulaic. But think about it. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, what are you doing? You're praying Bible verses back to God, aren't you? You're praying Bible verses back to God. If you can do it with the Lord's Prayer, why can't you do it all through the Scriptures? This is what I mean by God's Word guiding our prayers guided by His Word. This is how you avoid praying the same old things about the same old things. That our prayers are guided by, saturated by, sustained and controlled by the Word of God. So how do you do that? How do you pray God's Word back to Him? Now, there are some prayers in the New Testament. You can look at Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1:15 or Philippians 1:9, and there are others throughout there. The Lord's Prayer here is an example. But where are most of the prayers in the Bible found? Who say it? Psalms. The book of Psalms are 150 prayers and songs to God. If you want to develop the discipline of having your prayers guided by the Word of God, there's no better place to start than the book of Psalms. In fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but every week on the pastoral prayer, you'll see there's a psalm listed right next to the pastoral prayer. So my aim has been to demonstrate that kind of prayer guided by God's Word as we pray together in worship. For instance, just to give you a quick example, turn to Psalm 23, if you will. It's on page 458 in the Pew Bible, if you want to look it up there. But Psalm 23, and you may even have it committed to memory, a lot of people do. But how does it work to have our prayers guided by God's Word? For instance, all you do is you take the first phrase of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you know what you do? You say, "Lord, thank you that you look after me. That you're always watching me. Lord, thank you that you're like a shepherd to me. You're always guiding me. You're always keeping me. And you just pray about that. You pray about, thank you, Lord, for that you're my shepherd. I say, Lord, I really need guidance today. I don't know what to do today, but you're my shepherd, Lord. You're the one who always is there taking care of me. So Lord, guide me, be my shepherd today. And then when you've prayed everything you can think about in that phrase, you look at the next phrase, I shall not want. And you turn that into a prayer back to God. You say, Lord, no matter what has happened over the years, I've never lacked for anything. You've always taken care of me. And Lord, I know there are things that I wish I had. I know there are ways that I wish you would provide. But I know that you always take care of me whenever I need, when I need it. It's always there. And when you can't think of anything else to say about that part, you move on. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Thank you, Lord, that I can lie down and be safe. Thank you that at the end of the day, I can rest. You might even look at that and say, lying down in green pastures. You may even use that and say, Lord, yeah, could you please find a way for me to even be able to take a nap today? I'm so tired. I need rest. Will you give me that rest? You see what you're doing? And you just do that phrase by phrase until you either run out of psalm or you run out of prayer time. See, what you're doing is you're praying God's word back to him in the words of the prayers that are recorded for us in the Bible. And you can see how there's confidence in that prayer. You can be confident that when your prayers are guided by God's word, you're not praying the same old things about the same old things anymore. Not only are they guided by God's word, you be confident in prayer knowing that it is purified by Christ's intercession. What do I mean by that? It's purified by Christ's intercession. Here's why I want you to be confident in your prayers. You can be confident, Christian, in your prayers knowing that Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. Paul writes in Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Christian, Jesus takes your prayers today. He takes your prayers when you pray in Jesus' name. Isn't just like an empty phrase we stick on the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name means it's your claim on his promise that he is representing you before your Father in heaven. You have confidence to approach with grace to help in time of need. He takes your prayers and he turns them into a sacrifice for his Father. Thomas Watson was one of my favorite Puritan preachers back from the 1600s. He actually was kicked out of his church because he was a nonconformist back during the Restoration. He wouldn't use the Church of England prayer book, and so he was his license was pulled, and he was just an itinerant preacher. He actually died in his prayer closet. He passed away suddenly while he was at secret prayer, and they found him. What a way to go. Boy, pray that you go that way. Wouldn't it be wonderful to pass away in prayer before God? But here's what he wrote about prayer. He said, Christ's prayer takes away the sins of our prayers. As a child that is willing to present his father with a bouquet, goes into the garden and there gathers some flowers and some weeds together. But coming to his mother, she picks out the weeds and binds the flowers. And so it is presented to the Father. Thus, when we have put up our prayers, Christ comes, and he picks away the weeds, the sin of our prayer, and he presents nothing but flowers to his Father, a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus Christ intercedes on your behalf. You can be confident, Christian, in your prayers, because he perfects them for you. Prayer is our conversation with God, rooted in the Word of God. It's a confidential conversation. It's a confident conversation. And it is a constant conversation. It is a constant conversation. One of the greatest factors, honestly, in our boredom with prayer is that we feel discouraged because we're praying the same old things about the same old things. But the reality is, there are things we need to pray for every day, aren't there? There are daily concerns that we have. It says, in fact, in Matthew 6:11, Jesus teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. We do need to pray for daily concerns. pray for daily concerns. In the book that I mentioned earlier, Don Whitney identifies six areas of life that you'll always be praying for. There are six things. Just about all of your prayer life will be concerned with these six things: your family, the future, your finances, your work, various Christian concerns, and current crises. Just about all of your prayer life is going to be taken up with one or the other of those things, of those six things: family, future, finances, work, Christian concerns, current crises. He says if you're going to pray, you're going to be praying. So you do have to pray the same old things every day. You got to pray about the same stuff. But when your prayer is guided by God's word and you use his words to pray back to him, you can pray for these things in a way that avoids all those cliches, it avoids all those empty phrases. You know, go back to Psalm 23. Lord, I'm so stressed right now about the election fight and all of this that's going on with all of these lawsuits and fights. Lord, please be my shepherd and let me lie down in green pastures. Make me feel safe enough to rest, Lord. Restore my soul. Or you can pray, Lord, this medical issue is becoming so serious. Lord, I feel like the shadow of death is falling on me. I feel like I'm entering that dark valley of death. I just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, comfort me. Be my comfort. Guide me. Let me hold onto your hand as I walk through this darkness and bring me through the other side of the valley. You see, when you take those daily concerns and you bring them to God and you pray his words back to them, his word guides you and it comforts you as you pray in hard circumstances. As you pray in hard circumstances. The verses we read earlier out of Luke 18, Jesus tells that story of the widow and the judge. That woman had to keep pestering and petitioning that corrupt judge who was refusing to listen to her. And finally, she wore him down and he heard her case. And he says there in verse 1, he says he told them this parable so that they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now think for a moment. Jesus tells them this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why did Jesus tell his disciples that parable? Because he knows that there are times when you will lose heart in prayer. He knows that there are times when you'll be discouraged. Let that sink in for a minute. You face discouragement in prayer. You pray the same old things about the same old things. You struggle to keep praying when you've been praying for the same thing for years and it seems like God just doesn't hear you. Jesus gets it. Jesus understands what it's like to have your prayers go unanswered. He does. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus asked his Father to rescue him from the cross, and his Father said no. He said no. Matthew 26:39, going on a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knows what it's like to be discouraged in prayer. Jesus knows what it's like to pray and pray and pray like sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. You pray so hard. And his Father says, no. Jesus understands what it feels like when your prayers feel like they bounce off the ceiling. He knows what it's like to hear God say no, and he does not want you to lose heart. Jesus wants you to keep praying through all circumstances. Pray at all times and don't lose heart. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If you have heard Jesus' voice calling you to salvation, if you've repented of your sin and you look to his death and resurrection to be the payment for all your crimes against God, and you're trusting in his grace to clothe you in his perfect righteousness, he has promised to hear your prayers. because you are praying not on the basis of your own righteousness. You are praying on the basis of Jesus' righteousness that he has given you through your faith in him. There are a lot of people out there who can spin these fine-sounding prayers. People that can use all the King James these and thous and thines and therefores. You've heard these prayers. Like you can hear people that have these beautiful verbal masterpieces, soaring imagery and heart-tugging emotion, and their hearts are cold as ice towards God. They have no relationship with him, but they've just learned the language, and they know how to cut and paste better than anybody else. They can put the phrases together. They can sound impressive, but it's nothing more than a form letter composed to sound good. And then there are the other people. There are the people who stammer and stutter through their prayers. And they don't know how to make the words flow. They can't impress anybody with their fine-sounding phrases. All they're doing is calling out on a Father that loves them. They know they can come to him, and they can close the door, and they can pour out their heart to him. They have the confidence that no matter how confused or halting or unimpressive their prayers might be, they have the confidence of knowing that Jesus is taking their prayers and he's picking out the weeds of sinfulness in their words, and he's presenting their prayers to their Father as a sweet-smelling bouquet. They know they can pray God's word back to him and let the cries and praises of the saints in the Bible give voice to their cries and praises of their own hearts. And they know that whatever they pray for, whenever they pray, they have his ear and he loves them and he will answer them. They know they have a Savior who knows what it's like to hear his most urgent prayer request denied by his Father. And they rest in the knowledge that because Jesus' prayer in the garden was denied and he suffered the cross, it means that they will never be forsaken by God. If you've come by faith to salvation in Jesus Christ, that's the relationship that you have with him in prayer. You have God's ear in prayer, and every blessing that the scriptures promise you in prayer is already yours. And if you're here apart from Christ this morning, you are promised, you are guaranteed that he will hear one prayer. There is one prayer that he has promised to hear if you're here apart from Jesus today. Because he says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That prayer he promises to answer. That's the invitation open to you this morning. You can be free of all your crimes before God. You can be free of the threat of eternal punishment away from his presence in hell where no prayer is ever answered. You can call on the name of the Lord this morning and he will rush to answer. He will cleanse you from your guilt. He will clothe you in his own righteousness and you will have his ear in prayer for the rest of your life and for all eternity. So, let us pray with you, not because you need to repeat some magic words, but so that we can pray with you and encourage you and help you know for sure that you belong to him. So come and pray. Come and call on his name. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you've given us the enormous privilege of coming to you anytime, day or night. Shut the door behind us. Pour out our hearts to you. Father, you've given us the scriptures by which we can guide our prayers. We can pray your word back to you. We can cry out in the voice of David and the Apostle Paul and of Jesus himself, Lord, not just the Lord's Prayer, not just those verses in Matthew 6, but every verse in your word we can use to guide us as we cry out to you. Father, and I thank you for the enormous, just the unbelievable comfort and privilege and confidence that we have that our poor and stammering and weak and sin-stained words back to you in prayer that Jesus takes and he purifies and he picks out the weeds and he presents our weakest, most helpless words to you as a beautiful sacrifice, washed by his blood, given to you by his intercession. So, Father, I pray that you would free us from the praying the same old things about the same old things. Let us speak your word back to you, Lord, as we chew on verses, as we think on the things that you've said to us in your word, we continue that conversation back in prayer so that we pray, so that we find that time. Lord, just open up to us the grace of God that comes through prayer. Thank you, Father, for making us a church that prays for one another, that prays for the world around us. Lord, strengthen us in it. Guide us in it. Keep us in it, Lord, I pray, so that you would be glorified and we would have that joy of having your ear. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.